Venter City Planning Board, meeting August 13th, 2025. Venter City Planning Board meeting, August 13th, 2025.
The August 13th, 2025 meeting of Venter City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we will rise to salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Commissioner Langria.
Here.
Joe Iasnelli.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Chalata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Taco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Absent are Wendy Bartlett and Jessica Stilley.
The minutes of the last meeting, which would be July 28th, are before you. Are there any amendments or changes to said minutes? I hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of said minutes?
I make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. Next on our agenda will be the adoptions of resolutions. We have two resolutions this evening. The resolutions are numbered as P24 of 2025, which is 107 South Avalon Avenue. P25 of 2025, which is 601 North Cambridge Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to said resolutions? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And let the record reflect that I did not vote on it because I was not present.
Abstain as well.
Okay.
Also abstain.
Now, this evening, we have our first application. Will that be of Mr. Czar at 113 South Weymouth Avenue? You're not going to do it for me, right? This is an extension, correct?
Okay. That's right.
On the record, Michael Wiesen is recusing himself and removing himself from the board physically in this matter.
13 or 1?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
And do you have any witnesses or anything you want to be sworn?
I do not.
Okay. State, please proceed.
Sure. I'm Chris Valenson. I represent George Czar, who is before this board.
Can everybody hear is in the back?
Microphone? Not working?
Okay.
Can we increase that volume?
Yeah, can we increase the volume?
I can easily speak up. That's no problem. My name's Chris Valenson. I represent George Czar. Owns property 13 South Weymouth, lot 10, block 53. It's in the RR2 zone. He was here before the board January 8th, where he received approval to rebuild a duplex in the RR2 zone, where that's permitted. And duplexes are permitted in the Northeast Redevelopment Zone. We later find out, I knew, that Venter's ordinance has an anomaly where there's two provisions. One says the variance is valid for 6 months. Another says it's valid for a year. Well, if you think about the six-month time period, and that clearly is not enough time to do what you need to do after you receive a variance to go forward with the project. If you think about it, it gets approved on January 8th, and then the resolution is adopted at your meeting on January 27th. published a notice of decision a couple days later in the press, paper, whatever paper. And that commences your 45-day appeal period. So essentially, from the date of the hearing until the appeal period expires, about 75 days, takes you to March 15th approximately, where pending the potential of an appeal, you don't want to necessarily move forward because you do switch your own risk pending an appeal. So you're already at March 15th, and assuming the six-month provision is valid, you've only got until the end of July to pull permits. And if you think about that time frame, it's about 3 more months. You've got, number one, once the appeal period expires, you've got to get your working drawings done from your architect, because you only have zoning plans by then. You've got to get site engineered, because now everything needs pilings to the elevations. So you need engineering plans. Then once you get those done, that's probably, depending on how busy everybody is, they're busy, a couple months, then you submit for permits. And that invariably takes a month, maybe longer, depending upon plan revisions. So your 6 months is up. That variance would have expired. If the provision for a year is applicable, say now your 6 months is up, now you've got to find a builder and start within the next 6 months. It's doable, but not, Jake could probably tell you, not necessarily typical. I'm here to request an extension of the variance that was granted on January 8th, 2025, to allow that to be valid for 2 years from the date the resolution was adopted, January 27th, 2025. 2 years is plenty of time to do what you need to do under today's economy and today's circumstances to get building permits and to move forward. It's more than enough time. I would tell you, despite whether it's 6 months in your ordinance or a year in your ordinance, that's not enough time. 2 years should be a standing rule. There's no state rule. There's no state requirement. The state says that's controlled by the municipality. I think 2 years, and I would welcome the board's input, I think 2 years is enough time to do what needs to be done to act on a variance that this board has granted without having to come back 6 months and 6 months and 6 months to ask for an extension, because realistically, it's 6 months or a year is not enough time.
Mr. Chairman, I think we've talked about this. The city is going to change this so there's no expiration. Leo, if I could ask that you write a letter to Nicole, our city solicitor, requesting that city council, city commission, change this to remove any expiration. No other town, no other, very few other towns have expiration on variance.
Then I'll amend my application and lend it to Commissioner Lane.
This is a waste of their time and our time.
I agree. We talked about 2 years.
We talked about adding it 2 years.
There's no need. They've proved the reasons for the variances once. Why make them come back again?
It's a very, very valid application.
So, in any other, most municipalities, the relief runs with the land.
Right.
That's the way it should be here in Bender, and I think we should grant their extension for tonight, just to give them the 2 years, to give us some time to change this ordinance, and that would be my ask for this board tonight. I would make the motion to grant them the 2 year.
Yeah, I mean, a D variance doesn't expire. D variance runs with the land.
Right.
C variance.
Be the same for C's.
Mayor, I would endorse it. Commissioner, I would endorse it.
So there's a motion on the floor to grant the waiver.
So,
amended to, amended consistent with Commissioner's comments.
Well, wait 1 second. It says, because we're proceeding with an application, do we have to go through a public, open it up to the public before coming to a conclusion?
This is non-development application. There was no notice required. Leo and I discussed that.
Okay. I want to be sure. Okay, there's no notice then. So we don't have to do a public portion then. Okay.
That's all I have, Mr. Cook. Thank you.
At this time, I put it before the board to...
could you send the motion, please, Leo?
Sure. Well, it's a motion to extend the variances that were granted to Mr. Czar to January 27th. 2027, and then in the interim, if we repeal the ordinance.
I would suggest that the board is almost obligated to act on a request that's consistent with something this board's going to do in the future. If you're talking about extending it for indefinitely, the board is inclined to go in that direction.
Here's what I would suggest. We'll recommend, I'll make my motion that it's an extension of 2 years unless the city removes the expiration.
That's, yes. I don't want to be greedy, but yes.
May I have a second to that motion, please?
I'll make a second.
All right. We'll have all those in favor.
Aye.
Those opposed? There's no one opposed. The motion carries.
Thank you very much.
See you, Christian.
Thank you, Commissioner. Lance, thank you.
Yep. It's like a leader done, honestly.
Okay. Next application is that of Thomas Peterson, 320 North Harvard Avenue. Seat variances, it's a new construction. You want to open it? Mr. Goldstein, you'll check your, no preamble, you go all the way through. Where your witnesses in? I'm sorry, your witnesses in?
Okay. So we have owner of the property and the architect, so Mr. Manos, I guess we could swear them both at the same time?
Sure. Give us your name and address or business address for the record. I'll swear the two of you in together, please.
My name is Andrew Smith from Bishop and Smith Architects, 1344 Chews Landing Road, Laurel Springs, New Jersey.
And Mr. Peterson, your name and address, please.
Peterson, 320 North Harvard, Ventnor City.
And if you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
Now get Mr. McLaren sworn. Mr. McLaren, yes. Please raise your right hand. You swear upon the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth.
Mr. Smith, this is your first time appearing before this board. Are you a licensed architect?
Yes, I am.
Are you a planner?
No.
Okay. Let's accept that, that his credentials. I know the firm. I know the history of the firm. So, so your credentials are accepted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So do you just want us to get right into it? Does Roger want to walk through or your pleasure? Okay. So just by way of background, this lot exists now as vacant ground. It was once a much larger lot. It was subdivided back by the board in 2020. There was a house built on the first lot, which is the one closer to the bay. That exists now. I'm sure the board members went out and saw. We're basically seeking, not identical, but very similar approvals. Same owner, Mr. Peterson, had developed that property and sold off the lot that was then built. He's going to build this property for himself. So Roger gave us a report, which we concur with his findings as far as the variances we need. Of course, there really isn't a hardship. The actual lot was created based on a subdivision Mr. Peterson did. So we're looking at this as the substantial benefit that the potential variance that we're asking for tonight outweighs, if the board sees fit to grant it, the zone code of the city of Ventnor, the municipal land use law, if we were just to build by right. I'm sure all of you have reviewed the architectural plans. I'm going to have Andrew walk us through his plan. I guess we'll get underway. So Andrew, why don't you, Thomas, I'll hold the plan up. Just walk us through the plan that was prepared. And then if anybody in the back wants to see, turn around.
Okay, so what we have designed is a two-car garage under with a, and I'm just giving you a brief overview on the project as it is right now. So a two-car garage under with a single bedroom on the first floor, three bedrooms on the second floor, and a bedroom on the third floor. To quickly walk you through the floor plans really fast. On the garage level, we do have a small entry door that comes into a set of steps along with an elevator to the first, or actually to all three floors. On the first floor, we have a large open concept living space in the back with a kitchen, mud area, and a powder room. In the front of the home, we have the elevator exit, set of stairs, and an office as well as a bedroom with an ensuite.
Pardon me one second.
Yes.
So for the board's purposes, could you orientate the site, please? What is the size of the lot upland up to the bulkhead? Not the overall deed, but the size of the lot.
To the high water line. It's 80
foot. 80 feet. 80
feet. The frontage is 59.33, I believe.
So you need 60 feet. What is the front deed on the amount? Because I don't see it. I see a survey here, but I don't see it. Okay. It's 58.33.
Now,
is that in the, on the variance?
No, because when a subdivision was created, that variance was already
granted. So that is from a housekeeping matter, that's done. There, but the lot is actually the street is actually deeper than most lots on that street. So, and it exceeds the 70, and it's 80 feet, so we're good. Okay, that's what I needed to pin down. So that's how the board understands that we meet the, it's 81 feet to the bulkhead. That meets the depth of the lot itself. So it's one of the few lots on the entire street that does that. So
that's correct.
All right, please continue.
Okay. Just to finalize the description of the floor plan, second floor consists of three bedrooms, all with ensuite bathrooms, a laundry closet, and obviously an elevator exit, as well as stairs going up to the third floor, where we do have a fifth bedroom, a third floor deck, which is above the living space, and we have an ensuite bathroom as well, with the elevator exit and stairs located in the front left corner. And let's see here. Basically, on the right-hand side of the house is where we're going to be locating the HVAC platform, as well as a shower. And as you can see off the back of the house, we have the deck, which extends out towards the bulkhead. And then from there, we also have a pool on the back side of the house, which does need a setback. And that pool is 10 foot wide by 20 foot. 20 foot in width, 10 foot deep.
So, Andrew, I'm going to ask you a couple questions to clean up while the board's looking at the plans. But you and Mr. Peterson have had a chance to review Mr. McLaren's memo, correct?
Correct.
And you concur with his findings of the variances that are necessary. We do need, and he has them nicely highlighted there in yellow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk through, Roger, if that's okay, so we can at least start making a record here. Front yard of the building, requirements of 20 feet, just above the 15.5. The deck and the porch setback, requirements 15 or 10.6. The rear yard, deck's required to be 6 or 0. And then we do have some dimensional issues here with the rear deck height. It's not allowed to be above the first floor, we're on the second floor. And then lot coverage, we're 2% over, 65 is required. And 67 is proposed, correct?
That is correct.
And you concur that the variances we applied for match up to Mr. McLaren's report, correct?
Correct.
Based upon your development of the property, based upon your review of the plans, and your knowledge of the City of Ventnor Zoning Code, as well as the State of New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law, do you feel that if the board sees fit to grant these variances, that it would be a betterment for this project, and that if there were any negatives associated therewith, that the positives would greatly outweigh any negatives?
I do agree with that.
And do you see any possibility that a negative could be associated with this application?
No, I do not.
Okay. That's just establishing procedurally what we're going to put on for the case, but board members, of course, may have questions. I'm sure you saw the house next door. I think it won't be exactly the same, but it'll be pretty darn close to what's already built. Again, that was part of the same overall mother lot that was cut in half. That lot just happened to be developed a little sooner. This all happened, you might remember, right around the time COVID hit, so this project got put on hold until now.
In the Ponzio survey, it shows the house next door on lot 502 and lot 4 as a further setback than this lot. This lot is actually, this house is forward of that, of those, based on the survey that's shown.
I think that house is, this house is a foot further back. The house that we're doing now.
It's more than it scales off more than a foot here. But what are the dimensions?
Doesn't look like the depiction on lot 5.02 is accurate to where the house actually is. That would have been helpful.
In terms of front yard.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman, what is the question? Because I think they do match up. The other variance for the prior house was at the same distance. They might have built it back a little further, but...
One of the things that we try to do on the streets and so on is kind of align the houses. So
sure.
The houses are not staggered, and one's in front of the other. So the question becomes is the way the survey shows, this house doesn't align with the other houses that are on both sides. So,
moving there to the line.
Yeah, we, and that's, we kind of chose that distance to exactly line up, so.
Well, yeah, the survey doesn't show it that way. So, the aspect is that in the testimony, is that do you intend to align the, well, it's a question of where they align, the porches or the house?
Yeah, that's the question I have. It looks like the mass of the building may be the same. The survey shows the mass, not the porch, and that's where you're getting the offset.
Well, there is part of the house that's offset too. It says in there.
The house nearby does not have a front porch in the same configuration.
We have an average setback from, you know, like adjacent.
Average doesn't work. It's just, this, there's a setback, a point, and that's it. We go by averages. We go by the setback.
Yeah, understood. Just that. I'm going to try to check the survey one second.
So, but where is the deck supposed to be in regard to the setback?
I believe there's an allowance of 5 feet.
5 feet is a 5-foot penetration. Is that correct, Roger?
I thought you approached me if the house is where it's supposed to be.
Right, at 20 feet. So it's allowed to come to 15. So we don't know. At this point, if you're showing the house at 15.5.
The plan is showing
10'6".
Yeah.
At 10'6".
I guess what we're asking for is that consistent with the homes along that street? Because your plans don't show that.
I'll take a quick
look. Both on the plan, the Ponzio plan that we're looking at, the lots on either side are set back well behind where this porch is. It doesn't look like that as you look at the aerial. That's what I've been looking at.
Yeah.
But I can't scale on the aerial.
Yeah, I believe we would need to take a look at the adjacent home. We have the site plan for that.
Because you have plenty of setback in the rear. You meet that with room to spare, actually. We typically don't have issue with pushing the homes forward. Because on the street, as the chairman said, this is one of the deeper lots.
I think this is the deepest lot.
Yeah.
Of any lot on that street.
If I can comment on something real quick, there's a coastal A zone on the property.
So that's what's pushing the house forward?
Yes.
Okay.
If you see the line with the triangles on it, that's the limb line. If that touches the building, it has to be built to coastal A standards, which are B zone standards. Breakaway walls up the pylons. By pushing it forward a little bit, it gets you out of that.
So the decks above are about to be in it, but the building itself.
Right, and the deck itself that's in it will be independent of the building.
Okay.
And that's correct. And so if we were to push that back at all, we would have, you know, 2 feet or so, give or take, to be able to push that back. You know, but if we were to reduce the width or the depth of the home at all, it would greatly affect the overall layout inside and make it, you know, really difficult for us to get something that's very comfortable in there. You know, so we did have a little bit of room there to move, but at the same time, it's still possible.
Can they move the home back or should stay where it is?
Can you explain that again? The limit of moderate wave action, that's the A zone that you referred to?
See, the line across is the deck
and it's called out.
Triangles in it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That differential, it's the same flood zone elevation, but it's a different construction method.
Where I see.
If the building crosses that line at any portion of it, it has to be exposed pilings up the lowest horizontal structural member and has to have that breakaway walls. You can't have flood zones that have breakaway walls.
I see.
Breakaway walls, triangle slab.
Right.
Okay.
So we took a look at this, and look, the porch itself. And we want it to line up. We want this to be a project that looks great on Harbor because it's a great street. The porch that lines up now is relatively narrow. It's only about 5, at the deepest part, feet deep. So if the board would prefer that we shrink it a little bit, we certainly can. We don't want to move the house back at all because Roger's right. That gets into, you know, the breakaway construction is the big deal. That you have to have.
It's a huge problem.
Right. Yeah. So we're still okay with that. And if we have to make the porch a little smaller, we will. I mean, it is the board's discretion.
I think making it smaller than 5 feet is kind of, it's kind of impractical.
We've got reasonable people here, Mr. Chairman. We're not looking to put too much onto the site, but we understand that we want this to fit in well with the neighborhood, so.
What is your architect, Mr. Smith, what is your solution?
So technically, when it comes to front porches, you know, years ago, when I first started doing this work, believe it or not, 18 years ago, we typically do our porches at 5 feet, right? Now everything's gotten bigger, chairs have gotten bigger, porches where people want to sit on the front. And when people watch, that tends to be a new thing where everyone wants a bigger, deeper porch, the all age of their time out there, and everything else. So we've grown to do these porches a little bit deeper now, 6 foot, 7 foot, if we can. In this case, we have the front entry set of steps coming up, and that area is 5 feet. However, we did step the house back just a little bit, just to give them a little bit more space for legroom, you know, on the front porch. It's minimal, but it does work. And with today's designs down here, you know, especially on the coastal design, we like to make them appealing to the streetscape, so we do a little bit larger columns and tend to have to push that column into the deck a little bit further in order to center our guardrails on there, and so it does increase the space. And that also aids in us trying to get a little bit deeper with the porch sometimes.
The question becomes is, do you leave the porch the way it is and make it more de minimis, and that changes your design, what you want to do, or you have your choices in there, it's architectural solutions.
Well, I have a question while you're going through that. It looks like you have, and I don't have scale on these, a couple of feet before you hit that limb wall in the back.
You have about, and I don't have the measurement on it, but you may have that.
So if they can move the house back that 2.5 feet, keep it out of the limb wall. I don't want you to have to do all that crazy construction either.
Well,
doesn't look at the attractive.
Well, we don't know.
But I think if we can get that 2.5 feet back, that might solve some of the front yard.
I wouldn't push it, Lance. I wouldn't push it that close because sometimes the lines are, they vary these lines and now they've bottom.
Well, Commissioner Langraff, one thing that Mr. Peterson said, he can make the porch a foot smaller if that helps, because it is the front porch, even though people do like the people watch, the back of the house is where all the activity is going to be. So it's not the end of the world. He can kind of move the steps a little bit. It sounds like if we want to line it up a little better, he can make the porch 1 foot smaller than proposed.
Well, at some point, if it doesn't, I think Lance is on the right idea, we can step the house back. I wouldn't go 2.5 feet because that line, you know, is not exactly pinpointed sometimes, depending on who plots it. Roger, is 2 feet, is that reasonable? Or is that too close?
Push the house back 2 feet, keep the decks the same width. The majority of the front yard setback to the house would be improved to 18.5 feet versus 16.
Yeah.
Right. And only small portions at the 15.5 inch would be now 17.5. That's more in line.
Just don't want to be too close to that line. Like, we would like to have a little buffer that's just in case. But look, if we're I guess 6 inches away, if we're 1 inch away, we're not hitting it, we're good. But
plus or minus a cinder block.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, right?
The other thing that we were trying to make you guys is facing.
Yeah, cool. Why don't we look? Can we settle on 18 inches?
Making the house back 18 inches or the porch? Okay.
Yeah. And that gives you a foot. To play
I'm
with.
Trying to save the front porch because I like the design.
Yeah, the design is good.
Yeah, and I don't want it to be any more narrow for it because that makes it look like it's crammed in. We're trying to find a way to make this project work on site, knowing you've got that limb wall line creating issues for you. If we knew what those other homes were, and you might be lined up with them now. We don't know. That's the question.
By pushing it back, does it affect your rear deck, which, in my opinion, is more important?
Eric, you had the resolution for the house next door?
I do.
What was the front yard setback for that?
I was looking for it on my phone.
I think it was 16.
That's for the house or the deck, though?
To the house itself, but I got it right.
Because what I suspect happens with this survey?
Okay, for sure, because I got the resolution on the phone here. So the setback to the house in the old resolution, 20 feet required, proposed was 15.85, so it's a variance of 4.15 feet. And the porch was requirement at 15, variance granted at 12.56. So we were slightly further back than what we're looking for now.
8.5, that's 3 inches.
So if you push it a foot back, it'll be even with the house to the right?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you can do that, I think that would satisfy our concern.
Yeah, just move everything back a foot. Same size house, same everything. Push the end, we're not too close. That's good.
Yeah, that resolves, I think, the issue.
We would amend our application to push the entire project back 1 foot.
Right. All right. And because less than 5 feet is going to make that deck look, the house look fine.
But again, look, as much as people are going to be on the front porch, Harvard, other than people walking their dogs, is mostly the backyard. So the streetscape is great,
streetscape,
but people will be off the back of the house.
Of the properties and how they look.
Yeah.
It's got to look.
There are a lot of dogs there.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, fine.
Appreciate it.
So we would rest with that modification. And board has other questions, of course, we'll answer them. But that's, we're trying to make it look as much like the other house as possible.
Board members, any questions of the applicant or our professionals?
I have a question.
Please.
Well, the close proximity of the house on either side, you know, I'm done with this. You have, no, I represent the fire department, public safety, and I got to think worst case scenario all the time. What if, you know, there's a fire, you have no way to fight it from the rear of the building. Either side, the close proximity to the building on either side makes that much harder as well. Would you be willing to put residential sprinklers?
Residential sprinklers?
Yes.
And that can incur a pretty large cost.
Not when you're building from scratch.
So, just speaking from code, you know, so if we're
not
obviously,
from code yet, it's
yeah.
Coming. I know.
Yeah, by code.
But it is coming, so.
Yeah, and I've heard about that.
I'd rather be ahead of the curve, or ahead of the code, so to speak, but it is coming, so.
We've heard that.
I'd rather be proactive than, you know, react. What if you had to do it after you got done? Think it would cost a little more?
It's certainly
absolutely
more expensive,
right? So, you know, I'd like to request that you put that in, you know, your plans.
I think from a cost perspective, it's a little bit, even though it's not as much as everyone thinks, and we've actually priced it out on other jobs, but I'd like to stick with what we have now. We can give more access if possible. We can make the gates easier to get in and out of, but I think on the sprinkler.
Gates. We cannot gates down.
I guess you're right.
Gates are not a problem.
I know we always try to maintain the distance, but you know, the magic distance, I think, is 3 feet from any other structure, so you can get people in and out emergency.
But the other projects similar to this that have the bay as their back, which we call the C side of the building, A is the front, B left, C, D. C side of the building, we can't access. We can't, you know, if the fire is in the rear of the building, it's going to be a tough fight.
You can't put money on somebody's life.
Absolutely. The
just a request. You know, do what you think you need to know.
The problem is access.
Joe, can I ask a question? Do you know if they need a dedicated fire line from the street to go back?
I remember the building on Land Avenue we'd be having, and I believe so. I'm not 100% sure. That's more of a water department question. I know Snake would know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Or
it'd be a dry line, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dry. Yeah.
And I'm thinking if we want to ask for that, one of the things the city could possibly do, and then the mayor and I would have to talk about it with Commissioner Mento, is if you're willing to put residential sprinklers in, we would waive the fee for that second connection, which is in the $4,000 to $5,000 range. So that's something to throw out there. I mean, that's to lessen the cost a little bit.
I'd be agreeable to that.
I mean, I'm throwing it out there.
No, it's in the city's best interest as well. Loss of property, loss of life.
We don't have a fire code.
Right.
So if we're throwing something out there, the cost of the sprinklers is high, but the cost...
It isn't that high, it isn't that high.
But let me finish, Chad. In the long run, the insurance per building will reduce that cost down to nothing over time.
Agreed.
So it's dollar-wise, you know, I just think, and if it's coming anyway, why not take advantage of, put the sprinklers in, take advantage of the insurance savings, and over time, you'll actually save money.
What we're actually thinking about, because it's more along the back on the bay, would it be possible to just sprinkler the area across the back of the house? Because then they can run the line to that portion only. You wouldn't need it in the front, because you can get...
May I make a suggestion? If you sprinkle property, sprinkle the whole property.
I agree with that.
Don't skimp, because the difference in it and the cost is not that great, because we put them in before. But as far as the owner's concerned, I mean, the board can't make you do it. But we're advising you that it's the best thing, because if you're getting around to the back, these, your decks go to the water line. And to get access to the rear of these properties, it's very difficult. And I used to live on Harvard Avenue for 20-some years, so I know the situation. But I no longer have been there for 6 years, just so you know, so the record's clear. And so that's just an opinion. And it's to your benefit is all I'm going to tell you. And that's the case. And it's... They're done in PVC and so on. Today, they go in. It's doable.
Mr. Peterson just has a question, and I think we're leaning towards a yes, but he just has a couple questions to clarify that I can't answer. So, Tom, go ahead.
So, you mentioned the fire line, right? So, you said you could waive the fee for the second.
If you have to put a second line in, there's a fee for each line that the city charges for you to put a meter on it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I talked, the mayor seems to support it. We'd have to bring it. You have to apply for it, and we would bring it to city commission. That's something that I would support to get sprinklers in.
We've got aligned paths there. Then we're already on site with the first.
And we don't install it.
Right.
We would supply the meter and that kind of stuff. So we would waive any. There's a connection fee associated with each one.
Yeah. I have the water service there.
Yeah. So right. So the new one for the fire line. I would recommend to city commission that when you come and apply for that, we waive that fee.
All right, well, we've got two of the three commissioners. I know it's not binding, of course, but we're going to take that recommendation and we're going to agree to do the sprinklers.
Great.
Good. Thank you.
I think
it's a wise move.
All right, we would rest. Okay. The board has any questions?
We're going to open up to the public at this point in time. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none, a request visually or auditorily, the public portion is now closed. Are you complete in your application?
We are, and thank you all for the input, of course, as usual. Look, it's a back and forth, and this is a good one, so happy to do. Life safety issues are important, and I know cost can't be put on lines. It's just occasionally there's an idea of budget, but we're going to make it work, and that's what's important. So we're good. We're going to rest.
Fantastic.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a couple of extra comments based on my report. Here at Ventnor, we're allowed to go from 9 feet above the top of the curb to establish the first floor, and that's where the building height's established from. top of curb at this location is very low, I mean, 2.8 feet. That's what they use. So you're, we're actually forcing them to pin the house closer to the grade, which will force the city to not raise the street, be able to raise the street at location as part of that. My suggestion is give an extra couple feet of height to get the property up in case the city wants to come in there later on and elevate the street.
This is at the ocean end of Harvard Avenue, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's in that area that always floods.
Yeah, the corner is one of the lowest.
Correct.
Calvert? There's no bulkhead at the end there, and that's right around this corner.
You probably have normal flooding at least twice a week.
Plans that Blasio came up with elevate some of those streets, so. Do you guys understand what Roger's talking about? So that section of the heights, some of you live there, several of us live there, know that that floods the first place in Ventnor when we get, you know, high tides. We've got a plan together that we're trying to push forward and get some money behind to do some elevation of the streets as well as some pump stations over there to alleviate that and bulkheads and force residents. If they don't build it, we will build it and solve those problems for the most part. I like Roger's suggestion, that's kind of thinking ahead. We are planning to have some.
What kind of difference in height are you talking about?
I'd say if in a perfect world, and I was to rewrite the ordinance, I would say if your top of curb is below elevation 5, 5 is the minimum. So 2.2 feet.
2.5 feet. You okay with 2.5 feet higher than the roads?
It's still C variance.
Get a view to Longport.
But you have to fill that lot in a little bit to manage that.
Look, we can grant it to them. If it doesn't work for them, come back and talk to us.
No, I think that will work. And then just thinking about this, Commissioner, you're right. And we've been by there recently when it's flooded badly.
Yeah.
And it does happen quickly right at that 90-degree angle where Calvert is over on the bay at the end of Harvard. So any additional...
And de Blasio made a pretty comprehensive plan for all the heights. It includes raising roads in those areas and adding pumps for them to evacuate water. So it's something that we want to accomplish just for the sustainability of that area. So
I think it's very important to note that our commissioners are acting very, very proactive on resiliency for this community. I think they should be applauded for it because other communities are not as proactive as Ventnor is. And commissioners, I got
to
tell you,
we have to get the money for it.
Yeah,
I understand. but the concept is there, and the essence is there.
Request
this. I think everyone should know that they're progressive in that area, and the resiliency requirements and going for it in this community, they're going for it and get to better this community. And
well, Mr. Chairman, we're certainly happy that Mr. McLaren suggested it. Certainly happy the commissioners. And again, from a health safety standpoint, we're going to get a sprinkler building. This is kind of what we were hoping for, to have a little bit of a back and forth, but the project's going to be great. So if we could have a little extra room and we can make use of it, I guess if we're starting at elevation 5, that would give us 2.4?
2.5 feet.
So, additional feet, I'm sorry?
So the
2.5 feet.
2.5 feet, okay.
So the application in here would read this, is that, if I'm correct, is that the elevation would be measured from the top, the permitted elevation would be measured from elevation 5.
Yeah.
That's a 1988 datum.
That's good.
And that would be part of the resolution.
I'll just hate for the city to be in a position 10 years down the road one house.
Can't pull that up. Yeah. This driveway's
down. So,
right.
Are you in agreement with that? Mr. Goldstein, you're in agreement with that?
We are, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Are you concluded with your arguments at this point in time?
More of a presentation than arguments, but yes, we're in.
Okay.
We never argue. It's only a lose coming out of that argument.
Are you congruent with Mr. McLaren?
Yeah, we're okay with all of that and everything the board. Good comments have been great, so thank you.
Fine. We're going to bring it to a vote at this point in time.
Yeah, did you frame the resolution?
Sure.
The affirmative is always on for this application.
So Roger, they're going to be 35 feet above from elevation five.
Yes.
Permitted, yes.
Permitted.
Or 37 and a half feet from elevation two and a half, or that's where they should be measuring from, is that?
Okay, it's 2.8.
Okay. 2.8. All right, and I'll note that they're going to move the house back a foot as it is. So the front yard setback will be at 16 and a half feet with 20 required. The front deck setbacks will be 11.6 feet as opposed to the 10.6 feet with 15 feet required. The rear deck setback for the lower decks at 0 feet or 6 feet required. The rear deck height are not permitted higher than the first floor and a second floor deck. Yep, there's a third floor rear deck too, correct?
I didn't include the third floor deck because it's in the
box.
Okay.
Yeah, it's over living.
And then lot coverage, 65% permitted, and they're at 66%. And then the height, again, they'll be at 35 feet with elevation five as opposed to elevation six.
Mr. Manners, I thought the lot coverage was 67. I apologize. I thought that was...
67% is
67.
67.
One thing, in framing this resolution, we didn't cover was governor's strip. Roger, could you handle that, please?
Sure. Since the top of curb is at 2.8, meaning the gutter is probably at 2.2 feet, put grass in that governor's strip, it won't live. So I would just suggest keeping concrete right now.
And we request a waiver on that because it's pretty low.
Yeah. How much street trees? How much street trees?
I would say waive the street trees as well.
I buy grass.
We have trees proposed there, not street trees, but on the corners of the property.
Well, if they raise the property, they can probably propose it.
Yeah.
There are saltwater resistant trees that you can use. So you can check with our engineer planning with that species. So I suggest you do that.
One quick question before Leo finishes. The question I asked back, we're going 1 foot, right?
One.
Does that increase the lot coverage because the driveway is bigger? Or can you find a way to make it stay at 67%? I have faith in you.
It's 1 foot.
So the driveway is 20 feet wide as a, you know, you can get away with, you know, 18 if you really wanted to, but that's really only two parallel parking spaces. And with the structure that we have on the lower level right now, we have a column that we need to be able to support the front porch on. So if we were to make that any smaller, it's going to really cramp our driveway
so
coming into the garage.
Could we amend to ask for whatever the percentage of coverage? It's an additional 20 square feet.
It's not going to be significant.
Right.
So
allowance of up to 68%.
Yeah, we're not going to change anything, but that would be the only thing. Right. If you gave us an extra, whatever the allowance was up to, we wouldn't use that to somehow cram in other stuff. It would just be driveway.
Basically, the way we word it would be the consequences of moving the additional coverage as the consequences
That's
of
fine.
Moving the house back yeah. 1 foot. So you're talking 20 square feet.
20 square feet.
Which is de minimis. I mean, you never see it. So maybe we can phrase it. Oh, yeah, you want to phrase it that way?
Yeah, I'll work that in the lock.
And we'll phrase it that way.
And 67 plus whatever you need to push back the house.
All runoff from the bulkhead.
For the additional
door. I'm sorry?
All the runoff from
the bulkhead.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the runoff from the foundation.
Okay, now we got it.
All right. So I went over the variances in terms of conditions. I know what Roger just said about the runoff from the roof should go through the bulkhead. We're going to waive the grass governor strip. Again, they're going to push the house back a foot, and then they will provide for the sprinkler fire suppression system. And if I'm not stating this correct, let me know. But the board will recommend, and I'll to the governing body that if a second line is required for the fire suppression system, the connection fee would be waived.
Perfect.
And then the other conditions, subject to any outside approvals, whether you need CAFR or any other outside approvals, subject to any representations made during the course of the hearing, and then anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise modified on the record.
Okay, may I have a motion and a second, please?
Make the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, we had a motion over here. Roma, you seconding it?
I'll second.
Okay, you seconding. We'll have a roll call vote and state your reasons, please.
Mayor Kribel?
I support the application. I really appreciate the flexibility on the lot, on the building location, and I think the coverage was my only concern, but it's de minimis considering and other things that trigger it. But I also want to thank our fire official, Joanne Azzelli, for bringing up the sprinkler issue. I think saving life and property is one of the main mandates, and this is a great precedent for future applications. So I appreciate you supporting that. I vote yes.
Commissioner Langford?
I also support the application. Looking at the New Orleans River coverage, well, the 2% plus the minimum number for the driveway is literally the same amount that the lot is undersized, 2%. So they didn't oversize the structure for this lot, and it's a little bit undersized. So I appreciate that. Really appreciate working with moving the building back. Fire suppression, yeah. I think that's huge, for the future. It's something that is coming, I think so. I don't see any negative impact in the neighborhood, and it's a great project, I vote yes.
Joanne Azzelli?
I echo the mayor and the commissioner as well. Thank you again for your flexibility. The residential sprinkler suppression system is a big one. And I appreciate you guys including that. I do vote yes as well.
I know from experience, so I can say this.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes on this application. And on the world of zoning and planning and boards and so on, it's very rare that you do get an opportunity with the city to work on a project and work out some of these details, which actually improve the property for both the homeowner and the city. And I have to thank you for your cooperation in that, because this was a collaboration with a lot of skill on your part behind the scenes. So thank you on that. The house is, it meets the intent of the ordinance. In the ordinances in there, the waterfront is not taken on the normal ordinance side. There is no neighbors to the backyard. There is wildlife. And consequently, it has to be looked at a bit different. And the board is doing that to allow that section to develop in its proper way. So that is the purpose and intent. And it's a resort nature of this community as well. And the property is being brought into that fold. So it measures into the lifestyle and the intent of what is going on in the community. It's matching the developmental pattern of the street to the height. And the allowances that he got for the future are built into this particular property so that we don't have problems down the line. It's already prepared. And with that, the essence of a new property, there's only one lot left at the very end. So this is the last house on that street, basically, that is being developed, which will complete the street. And it's going to be a worthy investment for you and for the city and for the whole community. So I applaud you. I thank you. Your team did a good job. You also did your best to conform to our ordinances and the spirit of the city.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
I also vote yes. The variances are all warranted due to the location of the lot. I think the positive impacts, what's being proposed, far outweigh any negative impacts. It's going to improve the street, nice architectural design, and I really am happy that there's going to be a raising of the site, trying to eliminate some of that flooding. So yes.
Lorraine Salata?
I'm in favor of it. I don't really see any downside to the relief that you were asking for. Taking a lot into consideration, considering the size of the lot as well, I think you worked well with what you had there. And I think it's going to be a very nice addition to the street. And I appreciate all the flexibility you have shown in working with the board.
Dan Smith III?
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application.
There's a lot of things that came up tonight that you had to make some quick decisions, and, you know, there's money involved and things that you don't always think about. But I really appreciate you working with the city here and the board. It's a great house. It's going to be a beautiful home. And, you know, there's no negative impact. It's a win-win. I'm in favor.
Mike Wiesen?
I'm also in favor of it. I think this is the first application that understood the cost of sprinkler systems before they came in here, before they agreed. And applicants will agree to, in the past, to just say yes without knowing how much it costs. But in the long run, it's not going to cost a whole lot over the course of the life of the house. Just like flood insurance. Every time you raise a house, the flood insurance goes down. It's going to be the same. I'm in favor.
Peter Taco.
I'll also vote in favor of the application for the reasons stated, and I also commend the applicant and his professionals for being willing to compromise to the board's suggestions.
Well, I think for some reason you have to. And, you know, I have to thank you very much for everything. And Mr. Peterson, you've been doing well here in the city for a while, but you decided to stay. Thank you for, you know, now you're a stock. You have stock in the city.
Thank you all.
We'll look forward to seeing you again.
Okay. So, thanks, everyone.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Yes, we're going to, at this point in time, go off the record and pause so we can set up the...
2, 3.
What is it? Can you tell it is a consultant to the same? Or is it a special
Thanks.
Jim, are you ready to go?
I am.
Okay, we're going to go back on the record. Get back on. We're back on the record. I'll get everyone to introduce Jim Rotella, who is a professional consultant in planning and zoning. And Jim worked with us in doing the prior master plan. And so he's quite acquainted with the city and has worked with us for years. He's been like to work with, and a knowledgeable individual. And you'll see that with his work, it does. So with that, I introduce Jim Rotella to the public, the members of our citizen. And thank you for coming out, by the way. I wish to welcome all of you. I wish the room was full, but those of you here are full of spirit. So, God, I love you. So, with that, further ado, it's the floor is yours, Jim.
Okay, thank you, Chairman, members of the planning board, members of the public. Doesn't seem like it's been 10 years, but it's been 10 years since we did the master plan. And the state statute requires the master plan to be at least re-examined every 10 years.
Is everyone here okay?
Okay. We're going to go through a quick PowerPoint just to kind of talk about the changes that have occurred over the last decade and the opportunities and challenges that exist for the community. And this is really a starting point for the master plan re-exam, but it's a good opportunity to take your comments and to really have an open discussion. The vendors changed a lot in the last decade. You know, during the last decade, we responded from Superstorm Sandy, which had an impact.
Jim, could you bring the mic a little closer to yourself? So
Yeah, we responded from...
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. We responded to Superstorm Sandy in 2012, which had a lasting impact on all the coastal communities. We had several casinos close in 2014 four casinos, resulting in over 20,000 jobs being lost in the area, an impact that is still being felt by our region. Here in Ventnor, many things have occurred. There's been some very significant redevelopment plans that have been adopted that have changed the look and the nature of the community, a number of new developments that have occurred. So certainly a lot has changed, and we'll go through some of that in detail. In addition, you know, climate change becomes a more significant issue. We're dealing with, right now, the state of New Jersey has proposed climate change changes in the regulations, which will have a significant impact on Ventnor and anything that's developed in Ventnor. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. And the purpose of this meeting and any future meetings will be to build a consensus, you know, to put together a plan that everyone feels comfortable with that can guide the community for the next 10 years. Just to go over a little bit of the data, and we looked at everything for all of Absecon Island, so it gives you a kind of a comparison of where things stand for the regional market. All the communities on Absecon Island have seen a population decrease in the last decade. Ventnor, about 13.7% decrease. Longport, 10.4%. Margate, 17.6%. Atlantic City, 2.8%. So, and this is not unusual. All the Barrier Island communities, both in Cape May County, Atlantic County, Ocean County, have all seen population decreases. It's just the nature of the development of the Barrier Islands. In addition, the regional market, obviously, income levels have increased below the average of the state, but still have increased fairly substantially, almost 40% in Ventnor. The state average is about 47.7%. Growth, well, we see here a growth in seasonal housing. Seasonal housing in Ventnor grew about 4.8%. Which is quite similar to the other communities. About 38% of the homes in Ventnor are seasonal, as opposed to Longport, which is obviously much higher, almost 70%, Margate, which is almost 60%. So that trend continues. And trends, when we put together a master plan, trends are important. Because the only way to stop a trend is to change regulations, to provide money and incentives. So you kind of have to understand the trends that are occurring as we go forward. This just shows the census tracts in Ventnor. We'll do an analysis of various tracts. These are areas that we have data for. They're not really particularly neighborhoods in Ventnor, but it does give us some ideas as to how different areas of the city compare. Housing values, median value of homes, and again, all this data is coming from the Census Bureau. Census Bureau does updated data every 3 years, so that is the data that we've used here, and we're looking at 2013 and to 2023, so it gives us a good picture. Median housing value for owner-occupied homes increased about 5.9% in Ventnor. Longport and Margate, obviously much, much higher. The rateable base, this is interesting. The rateable base in Ventnor over the last decade has actually decreased a little bit. And part of that is a result of the impact of the loss of jobs. You know, people had to leave the area for employment. It affected Ventnor more than it did the Down Beach communities. Obviously, it had a significant impact on Atlantic City and Brigantine as well. So, since then, obviously, the last 3-4 years, the rateable base has continued to increase. There's been a recovery, but there was a pretty significant drop in the decade around between 2010 and 2020. This is an interesting slide. The state puts together an annual report on tourism, And this is our major industry, obviously, in the county. It generates $8.2 billion a year. It has grown almost 16% over the last decade. You see the breakdown here. This is an opportunity for our region, given the fact that it's such a large economic base for the city, for the area. We have seen increase in jobs services and restaurants and things of that nature, more than anything else. You've seen that here in Ventnor as well. So growth in this market becomes a important economic generator for our region. Opportunities. Many of these are some of these opportunities. Most of them are things that have already been put in place in some cases. The tax abatement program for new construction, amending the zoning code to deal with nonconformities, additional changes to regulations from a flood resiliency standpoint, and adjusting the zoning districts based on lot characteristics to maintain current densities. Economic development, you know, I think the city's done a tremendous job, given the fact that it's a fully developed community as far for economic development. Obviously, the two major redevelopment plans, the Ventnor Plaza and the Ventnor Square Theater, both have shown significant results, it's very that's significant for a community that's fully developed. So that's certainly something the city should be complimented for, and something that's the planning board started that process. In addition, the Ventnor Professional Plaza is going through that process now. Hopefully, construction will start next year. And going forward, you know, enhancing the business districts through zoning and beautification has been a high priority, and will probably continue to be. And as I mentioned earlier before, you know, strong regional tourism marketing is something that our region has never seen. We really never had a strong marketing push that identified the whole county as a place to visit. That's recently changed with Visit Atlantic City. I'm sure you've noticed that the marketing of Atlantic City has changed in the last year. There's now banner planes going up and down the coast. Their social media presence has been much more powerful, and they're talking about not just Atlantic City, but they're talking about the surrounding communities as well. And that is a benefit that can really, really help our region. As we were just talking about the tourism numbers, Cape May County has a strong, obviously a very strong tourism marketing campaign. They don't spend a lot of money, but it's done very strategically and very well. They see a 5% increase each year in their total tourism revenues. And when you're talking about an $8 billion industry, 5% is pretty significant. Here in Atlantic County, we're around 1 to 1.5%. So, and we're really the same type of market. We're a very mature market, a place that people know and enjoy to visit. So there's a great deal of opportunity there for growth here in Atlantic County. And that affects Ventnor, it affects all communities. Waterfront amenities. Certainly, this is something else that the city has really taken advantage of in the last decade with the events at Ski Beach and also at the community center. And now going forward with the proposed Ventnor West development. So there's tremendous opportunities that in the past weren't taken advantage of fully, but over the last decade, the city administration has done a phenomenal job at promoting those assets. And so that can continue. Parks and Recreation, and we talked about Ventnor West. There's also the opportunity to improve other recreational facilities throughout the city. We've talked a little bit about tree planting. We're actually pursuing some funding right now for tree planting on Ventnor Avenue. And you know, just the type of things that can make the community more attractive. Safer streets, another thing that the city has, working with the county in this case, has made green advances on in the last decade. All the signals on Detner Avenue have been replaced on the county road. They're now synchronized. Certainly makes it safer and also easier to traverse the city. And the same thing is planned for Atlantic Avenue. Flood mitigation. The city, as the chairman mentioned earlier, the city has been aggressive and has